All right, welcome to I Don't Know It. This is Thaddeus J. McKee. I got a special guest in the house. A special guest, a roommate, a friend, a pal, amigo, comedian, Dyke Michaels, everybody.
Hey.
How's it going, Dyke?
It's going well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You forced me to. You said if you don't have me on as a first guest, I was out of
that,
the house.
That is true, yeah.
And so we are doing this against my will, and that's fine. No, I'm kidding. Dyke, I'm having you on. You know a lot about movies.
I do. I'm from the past, you know, and the movies used to be very popular back then.
You're from the past?
Yeah.
So you're kind of like a time traveler.
Yeah, I was born and raised in the past, in the 80s and 90s.
Right. So you just traveled through time,
yeah,
in real time.
Yeah, I just took the long way.
You just took the long way,
yeah.
which is admirable. Most time travelers don't do that.
No, they take shortcuts.
I
take no shortcuts.
And you're like, I just want to experience actual life.
Yeah.
I like that. That's awesome. So I moved into this house probably, oh my gosh, like a year ago.
Over a year ago now, yeah.
Yeah, about a year ago. And I remember, like, it was during the pandemic, and you're like, oh, check this out. And, like, we started to watch Nathan For You. You showed me Nathan For You.
Yeah.
And that's when I, like, started to realize that, like, you have good taste. Because it was, like, here's the thing. I get mad when something's been out for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, wait, I have all these friends that haven't told me about this good thing. Like, this is great. Nathan For You. Like, how have I been sleeping on it? And then, like, we started talking even more, and then I realized I've been sleeping on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of stuff. Blazing Saddles, for example. You've seen it.
Yeah. Some of those things, though, too, it's like Nathan For You was still pretty, like, it had come out like a few years ago.
Okay.
So it's like you could miss it and be like, oh, man, everything with it is like 100% relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these movies, as we've been talking about, discussing, like movies that I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. And then it's like I have to go back and be like, oh, was this just great because I watched it
right
in 95
mm-hmm.
and it was great for the time when I was a kid? Or does it actually hold up as a great movie?
Right. And that's like what we're doing here on the podcast, is just like going back and seeing if it holds up and seeing something that I could relate. Like, I want to be able to relate to people in conversations, like when they're talking about a certain movie.
Yeah.
And,
I do quote films a lot.
Yeah, you quote films all the time. Like, and I didn't realize, like, maybe, like, I've only understood half of the things that you've been saying.
Yeah. there's my boss, that Gomez from Gomez Barbecue.
Yeah.
He, I think, is the closest person that I didn't, like, that's not a childhood friend of mine that, like, I can't really slip anything past him, like, I today was walking by him and I just went do 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 do. He goes, "Is that from Terminator? Is that are you humming the sound of Terminator?" And I was like, "Yeah, I was." Like I wasn't even thinking about it. But he like even called that out.
Oh wow.
And like I make little comments all the time about old movies that I just don't expect anyone to even know. I just say them.
So sometimes you do it in secret.
Sometimes they just fall out of my head. I just say them. I don't even really think about why it's in there, why I'm saying it. And then, so it's like, and usually people just go, oh, they just ignore it. And so to be called out on it, it's like, oh man, this guy knows all the stuff that I know.
Man. And I really found out, with you, like you would say something and I'd be like, oh, what's that from? And like, you haven't seen this? Like, and I'm like, oh no, I haven't seen that. And like, and you're like, tell me you've seen at least Tommy Boy. And this is what we're talking about today. It's Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
And so I've seen parts of Tommy Boy,
mm-hmm.
but like the thing about it is like with like the all time comedy movies of all time, and that's what we're going from, is the 25 top comedy movies on Rolling Stone right now. And these have a cultural impact on people because people use these as slangs. Like some things are just slangs from movies that people use all the time, just like music. Mm-hmm. Some things came out of music and people just quote it now, and it's like it becomes a part of like the English dictionary, you know?
Yeah.
But I realized it backwards. I started saying things from movies that I haven't seen and started quoting them. Like, I would knock on the door of a hotel room. I'm like, hello, room service. Like, do you let me fluff your pillow? And I did not realize after watching Tommy Boy that that was from that.
From the movie.
Yeah.
I think if you had grown up watching it, you would have known that it's housekeeping and not room service.
That's a good call out. We should have a button for every time there's a call out.
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Nothing.
It's all right. I misquote movies good now, too. Day, where it's just like, I remember the gist of it. I'm like, remember this? Here's the thing, too, is like, I don't think movies are as culturally relevant as they used to be. I don't think that, because it used to be that.
Explain that a little bit.
Like, you know, before you had all these different distractions of, you know, it's just like, you can just watch YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could not have anything, not pay for anything, and just watch YouTube and be entertained for the rest of your life, you know? So, like, before the internet, before having all these different distractions and stuff, I feel like movie and TV were really, and books, but, like, you know, a movie would come out, and most people would see it, especially if it was a, you know, a popular movie or whatever. Now it's just kind of like movies come out and it's kind of hit or miss. You'll be like, hey, did you see this? No. Did you see this? And that you'll bring up a movie you liked, and then maybe people will go, you'll switch recommendations. But the closest thing that I can think of in recent memory, the way that movies used to be, was during the quarantine when everyone watched Tiger King.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
because that was like the water cooler. It was literally everyone, no one had shit to do.
Right.
And everyone watched the same thing.
You're absolutely right. Like, I was going to ask you that question. Like, what's the like last thing that everybody's quoted? And it is Tiger King.
Mm-hmm. And what was it before then? I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Like, man, like Netflix. Maybe TV shows, maybe that's what people quote now, is because everybody has like a community of TV shows that they watch. But you're right, it's not movies like that anymore.
Well, and you can watch them all at different times. Mm-hmm. You know, like because of Netflix, maybe you're just now watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Maybe you're just getting into...
I haven't seen it.
maybe you're just getting into a show that's been off the air for 15 years. You can do that with Netflix now, but before everything came out at the same time, you would watch it at the same time, you would discuss it, and there wasn't a lot of other forms of entertainment. So movies were very of the know, and also, like, I used to have a thing well into my 30s where, like, if I started a movie, I would finish it. Mm-hmm. I used to never be able to, I was like, well, I have to know how it ends.
Okay.
And so even if I wasn't enjoying the movie, even if I didn't like it,
yeah,
I would still finish it just so I would know how it ended. I don't do that anymore. If I start a movie, it sucks. I'm just like, no, I don't. There's too much stuff going on, you know?
You feel like your attention span's gone down.
Everyone's attention span's gone down.
Every single
If you look at an old movie, the pacing sometimes...
So much slower.
It's so much slower, and it sometimes it like causes anxiety, you know? Like, you watch... Like, a lot of movies will start... And the credits?
Yeah, the credits will be like an hour.
So long, yeah. And they're just all this build up, or they'll just have a character just like hanging out, starting their day, you know? And it was just like, do something. I got stuff to do here later. Like,
that is so true.
This guy folding his laundry?
Someone just like writing a letter, and like the credits are still rolling, and the music's playing, and like, oh, now he's going to the bathroom. Oh, okay, now he's washing his face. And like, oh, like nothing's happened in the first, yeah, you're right, the first 15 minutes. I was gonna say the only movie that like comes to mind, like when I was in middle school, that we quoted all the time was Austin Powers.
Oh yeah,
that was the quote movie, and I don't think I've ever found a movie like that since. Like,
okay,
it's still I still quote it actually, and I try to bring it back, and like even like when I start going on dates, and if you date someone that like is like even like 3 years younger than you,
mm-hmm.
like they like didn't catch up to Austin Powers, so I'll be like, yeah, baby, and they'll be like, ooh, like what are you doing? Like, oh, Austin Powers, and then I just would like subtly like keep throwing Austin Powers, like I'll stay, and they're like, oh, like what are we doing here? And then the date usually ends because I'm like, all right, if you don't get awesome powers, you don't get me.
Yeah, I like to do like the way like the side character, like, yeah, you show that turd who's boss, you know, like were you just quoting Tom Arnold and Austin Powers? Like, yeah, yes, I was.
Man. Fun fact, Will Ferrell was in that movie. A lot of people don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. A young Will Ferrell.
See, I designed this device myself. Oh, hi. Good. I'm glad you found me. Listen, I'm very badly burned, so if you could just... You shot me.
But yeah, like, the you shot me line was great. Anyways, like, that's... like you're right. That's the... We don't quote movies like that.
No, I don't think anyone under 30 probably quotes movies at all.
Probably not. They just do memes.
Yeah.
That's when it switched. Like memes, everybody see the leprechaun say yeah. Or those little videos.
But then there are this. So do you know what shit posting is?
You could explain shit posting to the audience. We did talk about that.
So shit posting is like when you make a meme, but you kind of have to know, like, you're going into the deep cuts of it. So it's like, and a lot of times it's like you have to know two things. So like Simpsons have a lot of shit posting. Well, they'll take stuff from two different episodes and you have to know both episodes to get the joke, you know? And so like there's a lot of stuff that they do different movies and TV shows shit posting, but it's like, yeah, you have to know both movies for it to make sense. So you're like, what? I don't get this.
Man, we're getting too creative for our own good. Like, I wonder what, like, older people feel like right now. Like we're just speaking a different language to them.
Yeah, I think everything just gets faster. I mean, I notice even at home, like, you think, like, so all these movies are now, a lot of them are getting released on, like, HBO. Like, I have HBO Max, and it's great, and I've seen, like I watched King Kong and Godzilla. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
It was an awful movie.
I'm already hearing jokes on set, like on stage, people saying like how bad that was.
It was really bad. So there was a movie called Pacific Rim. Did you ever see that?
No.
So it's not a good movie.
You're not suggesting that to be on the show?
I'm not suggesting it to be on the show. Well, eventually, maybe. But it's the same. It's a kaiju movie. Kaijus are just giant monsters from Japanese culture.
Okay.
But Godzilla is kind of like the original kaiju. So they made a movie called Pacific Rim where all these monsters come out of this like rift in space-time, but it's in the bottom of the ocean.
Okay.
And it's like, what would people do if that really happened, you know?
Freak out.
And so, yeah. Well, and then they come and they attack cities and stuff. So what people do is they make these giant robots to fight the monsters. And then there's like specialized team that's inside, you know, making like choreographing
kind of like Power Rangers.
Yeah. And it's silly. It's a silly premise. You know what I'm saying? But like that movie was so much better than King Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, wow.
Like you had to almost just shut your brain off. Like it was, they had some cool like fight scenes.
Mm-hmm. CGI.
No, but actually for this movie, they just had a giant lizard and a giant monkey fight. Yeah, it was CGI. It was a lot of CGI.
Why did I believe? Like, I was like, wait, what? I was like trying to figure out the technologies. Like, so they just blew up a monkey.
It's just a giant. Yeah, they just had a giant ape.
Animal rights did not like this at all.
It didn't. It was a whole Free Willy situation.
So it was a terrible movie. You said like they came out of the bottom of the earth, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there was two things there. So one, Pacific Rim, they already made a better movie than King Kong versus Godzilla. It was awful. But my point is, I watched it in my bed, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a movie that normally I would have to go to a theater and buy a ticket to go see. I watched it in my bed, and it wasn't that great. So I had my phone out the whole time, and I'm doing other stuff on my phone as I'm watching this bad movie.
Yeah.
Kind of enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would just have been a different experience. If I was younger, I would have been in the theater with nothing else. I would have watched a movie. I would have paid, you know, $15 for a ticket or whatever. Yeah. I probably would have tried to enjoy it. I remember some movies walking out where I thought I enjoyed them until the people I was with let me know that I didn't enjoy it.
No, it wasn't good. Okay, do you know what movie that was?
I remember the Batman with, I always forget what it's called.
The Nolan.
No, no, no. No, the Batman with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
Oh, Batman Forever?
Yeah, Batman Forever. I went with a bunch of I was, like, young. I was, like, 18.
I was, like, young with that when that came out, and I enjoyed it.
And I went with a bunch of, like, 20-year-olds that were a bit older than me that were just hipster, and they just trashed it. Like, I walked out being like, oh, man, that was great.
And then they're like, the Batman has nipples.
Yeah, they were just like, man, that was awful. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, it was awful. I can't believe.
I mean,
I enjoyed that movie. I enjoyed that
movie. I would probably still watch that. Like, I'm like tempted just to go back after this podcast and we'll turn it on.
Oh no, I still enjoy it. what else did I? Oh, did you ever see Year One? The movie Year One?
No, I didn't see that.
So, I'm not. It's not a great film. Okay, it's a passable comedy. It's like Jack Black and Michael Cera, and it's the whole bit is just like they're cavemen who get kind of involved in, like, almost like biblical stuff, I guess. It's just supposed to be, like, the whole thing is, like it starts off, like, there's hunters and gatherers, and, like, Michael Cera's a gatherer, and so he just gets punked on for being a gatherer or whatever.
Okay.
And then they go off on this journey, and then they eventually meet, like, other whatever. It's okay. It's not a great comedy. I went with an ex-girlfriend, and she talked about that movie for years to come. Like, I made her do a punishment, you know, like I did something wrong by taking her to go see this movie.
Man, that's the worst. Going on a date and the date, like, it's a bad movie, and like your relationship is supposed to be built off of this movie.
Yeah, of how good this film is.
So like, it's like if the film's bad, the date, you know, this is probably not gonna last.
It's like, remember when you tortured me for 2 hours that one time? Remember when I trusted you and you tortured me?
I remember going on a date and like I was just wanting the date to go so well, and it was a terrible movie. I can't remember the name of the movie right now. We walked out and I was like, and you want to make that like good banter, like, so what do you think of the movie? And like she kind of just paused and looked at me, and I was like, it was bad, wasn't she? Yeah, it was bad. Like, it was bad. Or yeah, like, and we just like talked about how bad it was, and then went on like another date and then never talked again. But I blame the movie. Have you ever been to a movie theater and requested for your money back because the movie was so bad?
I've never walked out of a movie. I think the only time maybe I've requested money back is if there was like a technical issue, like the projector was broken or something. I think that happened once. I've never walked out of a movie. I'm trying to think of what the worst movie. Most real bad movies I've seen aren't in theater because I don't take that many risks going to a Like, if I go to a theater, it's usually specifically because I want to see a movie.
Right.
And I know it's going to be. But back in the day, man, I remember going to see some, like, I remember going to see, like, movies back in the day and just having no idea what they were about. Like, Fight Club, no clue what it was about.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because, like, back then, like, the trailers wouldn't show you a bunch of stuff before the movie came out.
Oh, you're
out.
Not saying when you walked out of the movie.
I was confused. I go, what did I just look at for 2 hours? No, I was saying like before I walked. Before,
I was like, wait, you didn't get
I'm stupid. I did not understand any of it.
Tyler Durden? What?
But no, like I didn't know really. I thought it was going to be more of a traditional like boxing movie. And then walked in. Like I was pleasantly surprised. Well, yeah, it's a great film.
I'm jealous of that.
But like I had no I didn't know what it was about, and the commercials didn't really show you too much, you know. And so like you get this, you walk in this I had another The Matrix.
Walked into The Matrix not knowing what it was.
The whole marketing ploy for The Matrix, like when it came out in theaters, was what is The Matrix? The whole thing was steeped in mystery. So, like, you knew Keanu Reeves was in it.
Yeah.
You knew that it was kind of like this, it had something to do with computers. But that was it. Like, they didn't show all the special effects and all the stuff in the previews at all before it came out.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what The Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Like if you see a trailer for The Matrix now, it was probably after the movie had been out for a while. But the whole campaign was just teasers of, like, what is The Matrix?
Man, I'm going to look up the old trailer to The Matrix.
The Blair Witch was the same way. The Blair Witch did... It would.
You, I feel like if the Blair people have lost, like, even though the Blair Witch did a really good job,
yeah,
I feel like if they did a full trailer, people would be like, nah.
Well, what they did was you couldn't even do it today because with the internet, you could just look it up. But they just said it was real. They were just like, yeah, this is real. This was found footage. This they created, like,
yeah,
the found footage, yeah, genre. But then they made like a fake. They made like a fake website that had all these just like fake facts about it.
Fake website?
Fake website.
What?
And so, yeah, it was really just like, how do we make a campfire tale into a movie?
Man.
I mean, a ghost story into a movie and then have people believe it. Like, you just couldn't do that today. It wouldn't work. There would be too many, you know, secrets let out.
I would love to do something like that. Like, you'd have to, like, go, like, deep undercover for, like, for years, kind of like Walking Phoenix style.
Mm-hmm.
And then make the movie like that. So what'd you think about Tommy Boy?
Rewatching, so, you know, obviously I grew up with Tommy Boy. I can't remember the first time I watched it. I couldn't tell you any time I watched it. I know I feel like I saw it in a theater, maybe like the dollar movies or something, but I couldn't tell you, honestly. But that was of the era. There was a very specific era where SNL was just cranking out movies. And it was just like, how do we make a star out of this person? How do we make a star, yeah, out of this person? And like, it's a lot of them were like sketches from SNL. They're, mm-hmm, like Coneheads or something like that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. They would take, of course not. they would take direct sketches and then be like, okay. Or like The Ladies Man. That was a direct sketch from SNL, and they were like, let's make a movie out of it. Tommy Boy was just Chris Farley and David Spade. Let's just take them, because they're funny together. Then, mm-hmm, they're friends. They were best friends in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take them and then have a movie based around them or whatever. And then they tried to run that back, like, a couple more times. Like, they did Black Sheep, which is just a watered-down Tommy Boy.
How did Black Sheep do?
Not as well.
Okay.
Tommy Boy was, also back then you would have movies, like Tommy Boy did well, it actually did well, but it had huge success once it went to VHS,
okay,
and DVD. And there used to be movies like that where the movie would come out, it would do okay, like Old School, you know.
Yeah, that's a great
movie. Didn't do great in theaters, but phenomenal on DVD. Waiting, same thing, you know, like there were certain movies that would come out, do okay. But then people would just get them, you know, everyone had the DVD, you know. Tommy Boy did both. It was well. It did well in theaters. It did well in the aftermarket. But then they were just like, let's just put everything David Spade. And, I mean, you would think that they could have done that a million times. But Black Sheep is okay. Black Sheep has its moments. And it's very much just like, the same thing as like Goodfellas and Casino, where it's like they're technically different movies, but it's the same people,
yeah,
just doing slightly different, like,
yeah,
characters.
Yeah,
that's what Black Sheep is.
Okay,
Black Sheep is instead of him working for an auto parts company trying to save the company, his dad is running for political office.
See, that's what I've seen.
Oh, okay. You see, yeah. They're trying to keep him away.
But it's so long ago, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to keep him. David Spade is just trying to keep him away so he doesn't mess up his dad's campaign.
Okay.
And he's the black sheep of the family.
So is David Spade in Beverly Hill Ninjas?
No. That is so that is swapped with Chris Rock is kind of the sidekick in that movie.
All right, let's put a black guy in this.
And then Chris Farley's last film, they tried, and they basically kept trying to do the straight guy with the wacky Chris Farley. Like, that's the best comic
duo. So Chris Rock was the straight guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then the last movie they did was like a, you could tell, I feel like it was almost definitely written for David Spade, but David Spade wasn't in it. And then they had, Chandler from Friends.
What movie is this?
It was called like Out West or something like that, or whatever, but it's basically they're playing like kind of like a parody of Lewis and Clark, and they're exploring the out west. They're exploring the old like the western frontier, but it's Chris Farley and Chandler, And I think it's what killed Chris Farley. No, I'm just kidding.
Was that his last movie?
Yeah, it was his last film.
All right, so I'm going to name some movies that Chris Farley has been in. And I want you to tell me, I want you to think right now, what's your favorite Chris Farley movie? All right. And it could be Tommy Boy. That's fine. And I'm finding out he was in Dirty Work.
Yeah. I mean, these are like, but that's like a cameo. It's not like a Chris Farley movie.
He was in Coneheads.
Yeah. He plays the daughter Coneheads' boyfriend.
Is Coneheads good?
It's worth a watch.
It's worth a watch. It looked weird to me as a kid. I'm like, I don't know if I'm about.
It's a weird. So the whole sketch, the whole idea, the whole joke of Coneheads as a sketch was that there were aliens that all had giant cones on their head, and they acted, they look like aliens, and they act bizarre, and nobody realizes they're aliens. That's the whole bit.
Even though their heads are shaped,
even though
like
they
cones.
Have giant Coneheads, and their name is Coneheads,
no, but no one knows.
And they like eat like ridiculous amounts of food. They eat like stuff that humans can't eat, like toilet paper. And they talk like aliens, but everyone just doesn't realize they're aliens. That's the whole premise of Coneheads.
Okay, Almost Heroes.
That's the Out West one I was telling you about. That's his last film.
Okay, there's a movie called I Am Chris Farley.
That's probably a documentary.
2015. Wow.
Yeah, he was definitely dead.
He did that in 2015.
Yeah, he didn't do shit till.
I am impressed. Chris Farley just impressed me.
He takes a long break.
He was in Wayne's World.
Yeah. He's in. There was a while where he was in everything as a cameo, like Airheads. Ever seen Airheads?
Airheads didn't come up. Hype came up. Have you heard of Hype?
No.
Okay. I said Dirty Work. So yeah, that's all that shows. I don't know anything about Airheads.
Airheads is Adam Sandler, Steve Buscemi, and Brendan Fraser are a hair metal band.
Okay.
That is desperately trying to get their demo played on a local radio station.
Worth a watch?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Even more than Coneheads.
Oh yeah, I would go. Yeah. I would definitely do Airheads over Coneheads.
Okay.
In the head-to-head challenge.
In the head-to-head challenge, Airhead versus Coneheads. Listeners, you let us know what you think.
You should bracket out. You should do a bracket and be like, which movie should I watch?
Which one should I watch first? Yeah, I need to do a bracket because like what I found out like when we started this, I'm like, wait, we got to do some of these in a different order. Like, I'm so excited to see Blazing Saddles. That's at the top, right?
Yeah.
But
and again, it's like, as great a film as Blazing Saddles is, it was made in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Like, it definitely...
So it's black and white?
Yeah. Color was not invented yet.
Well, that's a little play on words. Never mind.
But... It even has, like, if you, like, watching it now in 2021, I don't know if the pacing keeps up with a, like, a modern comedy would be.
There's, like, a 20-minute horse riding scene.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, he's really riding that horse. I still think it's hilarious. And obviously, too, this is, like, the humor in it is very dated as well, or, like, some things now would seem a lot more. What was progressive in the 70s comes off as... you know what they say, problematic in the 2021.
Right. That's the problem. Well, Dyke, thank you so much for being on this show. We'll do an interview after this with all your friends as well.
Those aren't my friends.
Most of the Heart of Brunch cast. And hopefully I'm going to learn a lot about movies and be a movie genius.
I don't know it.
And your family screaming, oh my God, we're burning alive! No, I can't feel my legs! In comes a meat wagon! And the medic gets out and says, "Oh my God. New guy's in the corner puking his guts out." All because you want to save a couple extra pennies. And to me.
Welcome to I Don't Know It. I am Thaddeus McKee, the guy that doesn't know it. And I am joined by several people in the studio audience. I Don't Know It, as you know, is about movies I don't know at this time. Sometime it might be about books I don't know. Sometime it might be about albums I don't know. But right now.
But at this point, you do know.
At this point,
you've seen it.
That is true. At this point, I have now seen Tommy Boy. Bridget Horan is next to me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you enjoy Tommy Boy?
I did, yeah. It's one of that I've enjoyed for a long time. It's one of the first shows that like I bonded with my younger brother about.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dyke Michaels.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Glad to be on the program.
Glad to be on the program. Glad to have you. And Zach.
Hello.
Zach the Man. A.K.A. Andrew.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Little inside joke. I used to call Zach Andrew for the longest time, and he never corrected me. So this is, having you on the show now is like an apology.
Is that what this is?
I said, Zach, I'll produce.
You should just apologize to all of us for having Zach on the program.
Okay, yeah. I do apologize to you guys, but I did owe him one. And then I was like, hey, I'll produce this. And then you're like, oh, great, I don't have to do anything. And then you come in this morning and you say,
hey, look, I picked up a new gig.
Yeah. Yes. You say, let me do this today. Let me get back on the ones and twos. But, yeah, so this podcast is what it is about finding out these movies. I'm very ignorant when it comes to comedy movies. I don't know if I was not allowed to see them. A lot of times when I'd be watching them with my family, like I was trying to watch Bowfinger one time, and we had to turn it off, and I got scolded.
Oh.
Yes.
There's adult situations.
Yeah, there were some adult situations. Mm-hmm. There were some curse words, and so that is why I wasn't able to watch a lot of movies. So I'm going back and I'm trying to watch the top 25 as we talked about.
Yeah.
And Tommy Boy was awesome. It holds up. Now, to be honest, I did see a little bit of Tommy Boy. Like, there's some parts that I know very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Chris Farley is obviously, like, you do comedy. It's always been one of the greatest. So I feel like anytime they talk about Chris Farley, they always do clips from all of his best movies, and Tommy Boy, I would argue, is one of his best movies.
Yeah.
So, I assumed you probably had seen, like, at least snippets of it.
Right, I've seen snippets, but I've never seen the whole thing.
You knew it was a buddy movie with David Spade and Chris Farley.
Correct. I didn't know what they were selling. I thought they were selling insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you guys want to know what I thought about the movie before, it is on the Harder Brunch Patreon, so you'll have to go and download that.
It's Harder Brunch, some money. The ad for this sponsor.
Yeah.
I don't know it.
Nice.
Harder Brunch has been paying me, and so I have to say it. To listen to the very, very first episode, the hidden episode, if you will, you have to pay Harder Brunch.
So what were your initial impressions of the movie?
Oh, man. So the first initial impression of the movie was like, okay, this is going to be fun, right? This is going to be a fun movie. You know what? And like it made me sentimental because I was like, man, like, I really wish Chris Farley was still here. Like, what type of movies would he still make? You know, if he was making movies right now, like, what would it be?
Are you asking us?
Anybody.
Oh, yeah.
What would it be? You tell me right now. You guys
tell
know.
Tell me. Tell me what it is.
I think he would have had one serious role at least by now where people were like, oh, man, he really has some, like, acting range.
Kind of do what Adam Sandler did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Have a Spanglish or something like that.
But I don't know. When I just rewatched
it. I like how Zach said Spanglish is, like, the ultimate, like, drama movie. It's like, you know, that was, guys, that's what turned around for Adam Sandler.
No, I actually really enjoyed it. I remember watching it when, I don't know, when it came out and, you know, remembering the bits from it. And what I thought was funny was it was clearly a movie that showcased him and David Spade kind of doing whatever their dynamic is. And, I mean, the whole movie is about nothing. Like, there's no real plot in it. I mean, there is. They go and they do the shit. But it doesn't matter,
friendship,
right?
Friendship. Like, it's anti-incest. Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, you're just kind of setting up the whole thing so that they can do their thing. And, you know, like the whole bit where he lights the toy on fire to make the sale.
Yeah. I just think they're – and I think it's always fun because I feel like David Spade is – comedian, but I feel like anytime he's opposite Chris Farley, he's always the more serious or the more kind of like stoic of the two, and I always like that kind of dynamic. That
he was the Chris King of the movie. All he does is sit there and belittle Chris Farley the whole movie.
Yeah, that is true.
Who do you relate to in this scenario, Dyke?
The hero of the film.
That is true.
Rob Lowe.
Now, do we know, like, was this like Chris Farley's first movie, like where he was like the main character? Or and we'll add some pause there if we need to.
Some
pause.
Put some cricket, yeah, a cricket track.
We jumped in right away. I don't know. I think it was almost the pinnacle of, because like he had done SNL, and it's like I think that everyone knew he was funny, but
I think this is the first one where he was like the main character. Mm-hmm. Like I think he'd been in like Adam Sandler, like he'd been like the bus driver in Billy Madison.
Yeah, okay, Black Sheep. I think came. Oh yeah, no, that was, yeah, yep.
So this
before
was
that,
his
it was
first.
Just bits. Yeah.
So this was his first. Okay, Tommy Boy, and then, all right, I'm a star now.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching it. I rewatched it last night for the first time that I'd seen it in years. And I just remembered. I was just like, oh, man, like how, not just how funny he was, but like how, like, heartwarming. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I was just like when he could play, like you've, I felt like he really felt bad for his dad, you know, like he was really trying.
Yeah.
And he has like this sweet little boy attitude almost that I had kind of forgotten about. It's like, you remember he yells, you remember he falls down, he hits his head a lot. Mm-hmm. But like, I forgot like how genuinely like sweet he was.
Yeah.
They made him really likable.
Yeah.
Like you actually kind of like felt the bit where he's like, you know, like, I just want you to be happy, dad. Yeah. And, like, you know, you're supposed to be corny, but at the same time, it's like, oh, this guy's actually like genuinely I think one of the things I enjoyed most was I forgot all the details, and so when they introduced, like, the romantic, you know, character, I thought, oh, you know, there's going to be something where he's trying to win over the romance lead. And no, like, they basically just walked right into a relationship.
Yeah, that is true.
And it was more about him trying to, like, romance David Spade.
Yeah.
I felt like.
That is a great point. That's a great take. Because, like, they're on the boat, and then, like, he's, like, yelling at the kids, and then, like, the turnaround point is she starts yelling like him, and then you're like, okay, like they're a perfect match.
Yeah, she's like, hey, I ran your dad's mail, now we're dating.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty much just that.
But I like that though, where it's less about that kind of build up, and it's more about like friendship and kind of family. And it's like, it's literally like, I want you to be my friend. Like, why don't you want to? He's like, I know you're annoyed by me, but like, please be my friend, please really like me.
And this whole time, Rob Lowe is just trying to sabotage everything for money, right?
Yeah, with his mom / wife.
What was the deal with that? Was that popular back then? Like,
that is such like a 90s idea where it's like, oh, like, that's because that isn't that a thing in one of the Addams Family movies?
It was an Addams Family. It was in Beverly Hills.
I think it's like a whole thing where it's like
every comedy.
Maybe it's the mom and son, but it's actually they're married or they're dating.
Yeah.
Always somebody pretending to be somebody else to get some sort of inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Man, that was
but
a
there
big
was never,
thing.
I feel like, actually incest in like Hollywood movies.
No. Wait, are you sure?
I feel like
Back to the Future.
You know what? You're right. There it is.
That was just close. They never actually committed incest. I guess
it happened in their heart.
Yeah,
in their heart.
It happened.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like that's such like a like 90s villain idea where it's like, I'm going to sabotage your inheritance. And, like, that's the worst thing I could possibly do. And
nobody's checking these people. It's not, like, a simple, like, well, I mean, you don't have ID for this.
Yeah.
You know, they've lied their way there. Yeah. And
it's only, like, the very end where she showed up and she's like, yeah, I have their records. And it's like, oh, that would have been helpful. Like, wish we could have gotten those earlier.
Yeah, they had to be printed off, and there was a lot of them.
That's true. Printers back then are slow.
I did think about it when they bust in and they bring out the police report and everything, and they got all the facts, and they're like, and actually, this is a scam. Like, I think about, like, today, and then you bring something out, and then everybody just argues more.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that's not true. It was very buttoned up. Like, they just went in there and then, you know,
yeah,
case solved.
It's I also like how it's like, I feel like you couldn't make someone pretend to be a suicide bomber in a comedy post 9/11. That's such like a pre 9/11 like.
And it was comedy. I was amazed watching it how quickly they brushed past that.
Yeah, like
that
no
he
big
pretended
deal.
To have a bomb, and, yeah. and it got on the news. And then it was like, oh, he saved it. I like blinked and I was like, wait a second, did I miss the part where he
serves time in prison?
Yeah. I honestly started thinking, I was like, wait, he goes away for a while, right? Like he gets arrested, goes away.
Is this like a flash forward or?
Fun fact, Rob Lowe is not credited in the movie as Rob Lowe.
Wait, why?
Because he was under contract for The Stand.
Oh.
And
I don't know it.
No. Well, add it to the list.
I think there should be some sort of like a catchphrase noise.
A
mini
series based on a Stephen King book.
Stephen,
I think they recently redid it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, SK. Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually the Stevie reboot K? Just came out of The Stand. But anyway, he had gone out drinking with David Spade, and David Spade had basically talked him into the role, and he was just like, "Yeah, I guess I'll."
Yeah, you just got to take your shirt off a couple times.
Yeah.
Maybe kiss your mom.
Which is Bo Derek. So.
Yeah. So, like, actually, yeah, talk about holds up. It's fine.
Yeah, you had me at Kiss My Mom. So he was in. I have a guy that knows a lot about movies that I want to call. He's my movie buff.
Yep, you're cinephile.
He's my cinephile. Is Donnie
is that
Donnie.
Not the term?
No, it is the term. I just didn't like how it sounded.
That's fair.
He's a classic cinephile.
right?
I would say a registered cinephile.
He's a registered cinephile, as you would think, whatever that is. So we're going to call him Donnie. Donnie, let's see.
The registered cinephile.
And we're just going to, because he knows a lot about movies. Donnie. Is he still serving time for being a cinephile? Is he?
And that suicide bombing thing.
He gets one phone call.
You're talking to Donnie, baby.
Hey, Donnie, what's going on?
Hey, sorry, baby. I'm just eating my dinner. You mind if I just eat my dinner, baby?
Yeah, you're just eating. Yeah, you can eat your dinner. Donnie, we're talking about Tommy Boy, and I know you're known as a cinephile. That means you know all the comedy movies, right?
Oh, yeah, baby. I got insiders.
All right.
You know.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
How do you have insiders? Like, what's your background?
Oh, man, my pal Freddy. Yeah, he worked behind the scenes in Tommy Boy and many other films, you know.
Oh, really?
He told me, Dave. He told me a lot of things. He worked on Jaws.
He worked on Jaws?
Yep.
Oh, man. So okay.
That's
so
quite a career. Tommy Boy and Jaws.
That's the only movies he did, though. Okay. he did a lot more. I can't even remember all of them.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah,
no, he's a real deal, baby.
He's a real deal?
Anyway, I'm going to keep eating my dinner. You go ahead.
Hey, I actually have a question for you. What do you think of Tommy Boy on a scale of 1 to 10? What does it rank out for you?
Oh, that's a tough one, baby. You know, I've seen many films. You know,
you can swallow. That's fine.
That's a tough one, baby. You know what? All seriousness, I'd say a 9, baby.
Oh, it's a 9. Nice.
I'd say a 9. Yeah, you know. It's hard for me to rate films, but hey, why not? This one's a good one.
No problem.
I actually watched it twice just to, you know, remember it pretty well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know all the deep secrets of the film, so
can
you,
a couple of things.
Can you fill us in?
Oh, yeah, baby. My friend, you know, my pal Freddy, like I said, he worked behind the scenes in the movie. You know, he told me David Spade almost blew the whole deal, baby.
What?
I mean, he laughed during all the best takes. You know what I mean?
So you're saying, like, he was ruining it?
Oh, yeah. It was ruining it. They had to do a ton of reshoots, baby. Because of that little guy. You know what I mean? he couldn't hold it together. Chris Farley was getting pretty upset, baby. I mean, it caused a lot of scuffles. I mean, serious scuffles, baby, between Chris Farley and, you know, my man David Spade. Actually, a fun fact about David Spade.
Yeah.
He was born David Spader. He's in fact brother of James Spader. I mean, identical, baby.
Oh.
You know, go look at it. Go Google it. You know?
Is that real? We got Google here, so we're gonna keep double checking on that. I've never heard that before.
He changed his name.
Oh, okay.
He was intimidated. He didn't want to be compared to his brother, baby.
Oh.
After his great performance on that TV show, The Office. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I'm talking about. I want to connect this story for you because they had a lot of scuffles back to Chris Farley and David Spader. You know, they had a ton of scuffles. They were really upset, and so much so that the makeup crew ended up being the highest paid crew on the set, baby.
The timeout. So you're
touch them up after every scene.
So you're saying they like got into physical fist fights to the point where they had to like literally touch them up, and the makeup cost that much.
Couples, baby. Oh yeah, baby. Severe scuffles.
Wait, where are you getting these facts?
Well, my friend Freddie, he saw it. Actually, their trailers had to be very far apart, baby, because there was this one scene that Dave, you know, David Spader, he laughed. And, I mean, this scene was crucial.
Scene was it?
Chris Farley, oh, man. Chris actually set himself on fire, baby, okay? And it was hilarious, I'm telling you. You know, it was good stuff. His whole body was up. It was burning. And they had to cut it because Spader just blew it, man. He just laughed. You know, he laughed the whole time. And Chris was he laughed even when Chris was getting put in the ambulance, baby. And they had to cut, you know. And Chris, and this did not go over well, baby. So they did not get along after that. I'll tell you that. And, you know, Freddie told me the trailers had to be put far apart because, like I said, you know, the fire, baby, it just started it all. And Spader is really bald, though.
Wait. That's a true fact. Wait, he's bald? I've actually, I don't know if I could, I've seen him with hair for a while.
No, you know, he's bald, baby.
You guys have any questions for this cinephile?
I mean... No, I guess the bald makes sense if he's James Spader's brother. He's kind of balding now, but yeah, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, baby. I'm telling you. I personally think Rob Lowe stole the show, though. You know what I mean, baby?
Yeah.
He really stole the show. I mean, he was great. Mm-hmm. Don't you think so?
Wait, he's your favorite?
Anyway.
So why was Rob Lowe on the show? How did he get on there? Did you know anything about that?
On the movie? Oh. Yeah, you know, he came in. A couple guys came in. Jim Halpert came in. You know, but they ended up picking him because, I mean, you know, he really looks like a guy. You know, he's just a real guy, and he's a good-looking guy. But he's also he kind of plays the asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, excuse me, I'm just eating my dinner here. But
no
yeah,
problem.
I mean, Rob Lowe. I mean, he turned out to be perfect for the role, baby. You know?
Yeah. I mean, we just found out that he was asked by Spade, like on a drinking trip, to be on the show. So, like, that's what we found out. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Fun fact: Sylvester Stallone actually originally auditioned for, you know, the part of Rob Lowe. So
wait,
he actually did not get the part.
Can you look that, Zach? Can you look that up?
They had him in mind. This is what happened. You know, they had him in mind, right? Anyway, long story short, Rob Lowe got it.
Okay, so
I think that
sorry, we're looking some of this stuff up, and it does not track up at all. Like none of this, like it's not on the internet. Why?
Hey.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
If you want what I got, okay, I got the facts.
Okay.
And these are underground facts. Okay, you're not going to find this. You're going to be able to Google this. This is the Donnie Net. Okay. It's not the internet. If you want the internet, just to Google it. So you got the Donnie net here. This is the real facts, the facts behind the facts.
All right, Donnie.
Do not believe that Google.
All right, Donnie. Thank you so much. We'll check back in with you next time. We gotta find out these. We gotta cross reference these facts.
Fact check.
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, Donnie.
Enjoy your dinner. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Hot dogs, baby. All
right. And now.
Hot dogs, baby. All right. Peace, baby.
See you, man. All right. And now for our sponsor, we got a sponsor right away, which is rare. Bridget, would you like to read that for us, please?
Sure.
It's in all caps for extra easy, readability. Easy. You got to read it.
This whole sheet of paper though. That's only about a fifth of it is used.
Yeah, you're not supposed to read ahead. You're supposed to read it.
Yeah, Ladyscape. You've heard. There's no punctuation. Oh, there is punctuation. Ladyscape. You have heard of Manscape. Well, now there is Ladyscape. For women to trim their lady parts. It's about that season where you don't want your hair to be a scare. So please buy Ladyscape. It's exactly what you think it is. Make your labes smooth as butter. It is a triangle shaped and trims any style you want. So please buy Ladyscape for the upcoming swimsuit season.
All right. Thank you so much, Ladyscape. And you guys, you know where to get it. Yeah. These are real, real sponsorships. So I appreciate if you guys do not laugh during them.
Take care of your labes this swimsuit season.
Yeah, everybody appreciates
a smooth labe.
Buttery, rich, buttery labes.
Rich, buttery.
All right. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Ladyscape.
We'll be back right after the break.
I just love when I'm with you. Yeah, this shit is on 10. We used to be friends, girl, and even back then, you would look at me with no hesitation. Then you tell me, baby, it's yours. Nobody else is. Yeah, this shit belong to nobody. It's yours. Nobody
else is. All right. Welcome back to IDK, baby. We just talked to Donnie. I feel like Donnie gave us some false facts. What do you think about that, Dyke?
Yeah, I don't know if all those are going to check out or not.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. So we got someone else in the studio. It's a little party over here. Jake Johnson, baby.
Hey, how you doing?
It's good to see you. I'm glad you came over.
Hey, good to be here. Always good to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're just having a Tommy Boy day.
A Tommy Boy of a day. That's nobody said a boy of a day.
Okay, you're done. What's your favorite part of Tommy Boy, real quick?
My favorite part of Tommy Boy, if I can think of it off top, oh boy. Oh, there's just so many. I think the sailboat scene when they're yelling at the kids on the shore.
Great,
especially when his lady comes back with the most fiery. Come back to those school age children. That was pretty hot.
We were just talking about like that's the point where you know they're in love. Like that's the point where like oh like they could work as a couple.
Yeah.
Like they both love yelling at kids.
I look forward to that scene when I watch that movie. I look forward to the intro. The intro is always really cool.
Yeah, how they kind of switch it for him being late to the bus.
Yeah,
it felt like that. Like a lot of movies started out that way back in the day. Just like that, like little like that little like music. Like there's like an orchestra behind and like
I don't remember if Danny Elfman was part of Tommy Boy, but it sounded like a Danny Elfman sort of like lead up to everything. It's whimsical, it's fun, but you know it's silly. You know there's like probably a little bit of slapstick involved with the wah 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 wah.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Yeah. And like there's gonna be a dropping of the books and like oh man.
Yeah, like oh god, I'm so behind whatever the hell it is. I'm really setting up my character's flaws immediately from the credits, you know, and yeah.
I mean, thinking about being a musical score back in the day, like, it wasn't, like, that, like, high of a praised job until, like, maybe the 70s or the 80s. Like what were you doing today, Junior? Oh, I was making music to someone dropping books.
Do you call that scoring? Is scoring, like, the verb, you know, the adverb that you use? Like, I don't know. It's score, like, how do you describe somebody's job? Like, I spend my day, what, scoring or writing music? I mean,
I'm going to say scoring for right now until we come up with the different facts.
Working on the score for the movie.
Yeah, like choreographing. I don't know. I feel like that means something else entirely. Like, yeah. I don't know.
So I have a question. Dyke, we were talking about problematic things with the film. Yes. What did you spot? What did you see? Like, what does Google say? What do you say?
What I say in a little segment I like to call Point of Privilege. Well, there are some things that if you look at a beloved film like Tommy Boy through the lens of 2021, there are some things that are problematic. The movie does star a straight cis man who, even though he's definitely unqualified for the job through nepotism, he's failing upwards into a window office seat almost immediately out of college. And then the movie does, there's definitely a lot of sexism in the way they objectify, like,
Women.
There's two different scenes where women are swimming in a pool, obviously for the male gaze. Bo Derek coming out of the pool. She's reenacting a scene from 10 where she comes out of the ocean.
Tommy's stepmother, or soon to be stepmother, Beverly, is walking out of the pool.
She was a sex symbol in the 70s.
Okay.
And so she's reenacting one of her famous movie scenes. Coming out of the pool.
I believe Tommy's line in it is a reference to that Woody Allen movie. Like, Dad, she's a 10. She was in 10, which is a Woody Allen movie.
There was a little...
That was a throwback.
Wow.
But I think, like, I get what you're saying with that, but I think the more problematic thing is nepotism. I think that's, like, if we didn't, like, reach on that problematic thing too much.
But
then
later in the movie, when the ladies at the David Spade is watching her without consent and masturbating.
That is a little bit touchy.
What I am saying is, like, she was swimming naked in a pool. Like, is that, what type of privilege is that? Like, she's in the wrong, kind of. Now,
why was she in the wrong? Go on.
Because she took her top off at a public pool, which I'm sure wasn't a nude pool.
Now,
and her bottoms.
We cannot confirm or deny if this hotel motel had a sign that said no nude bathing.
I bet they definitely had a no masturbating sign up there.
You think so? Please, like,
please don't be mad. Does any room have a no masturbating sign? That can't be real.
It's probably small print.
I've broken so many laws.
This seems like a Venn diagram of, like, bad signage. You know, like, hey, this person, yeah, you probably shouldn't be swimming nude in the public pool. And no, you shouldn't be jerking off to strangers. But that does seem like sort of up to the, like, you know, the, it's really on the person. Like, you better not do that. Like, it's implied that you don't, you know, run into the lobby and then take all of the flyers out of the flyer holder and then throw them about the room and act like you're a pterodactyl or whatever.
Right.
You probably don't need a sign for, like, literally everything that you could possibly do wrong.
You're right.
But you're saying that it was wrong for David Spade to masturbate to a stranger that was, at, you know,
probably breaking the law.
It's in some kind of way breaking the law because it is, like, a public pool.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know? So,
right.
Was one more wrong than the other, do you think?
I think that he shouldn't have been touching himself. What we call that is a peeping Tom.
Yes.
Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, like,
you're looking,
like,
into someone else's window.
Yeah, it's a little bit different ethically if you're in the privacy of your home masturbating and the person is on public display willingly naked.
Yes.
Like, that seems to be a complete reversal.
Yeah.
Well, I do have some more. I think they put...
We're gonna call that a stalemate.
I feel like they rolled all the problematic elements into David Spade's character because these are all infractions by David Spade. David Spade, outside of the peeping, he also does fat shames. A lot of fat shaming throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, most of the movie is that fat shaming.
You could also, like, give that to Abbott and Costello. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of fat shaming going on there. I know, like, it almost seems like this movie is sort of a play-up from old Abbott and Costello. So like, if you're gonna say about fat shaming, sure. we have gone from a long line of fat shaming in comedy. So I feel like this is still one of the last traditional ones. Again, this is pre-internet. So, you know, maybe we can get this.
That doesn't help anything. It was pre-internet.
Hey, I heard pre-internet at some point, like right before I jumped
down. A fly to the steps. It was
before the internet, so, yeah.
There was...
they laughed at it, but not for the sake of, you know, clout.
David Spade does an offensive accent when he... that was Tommy Boy. He does the offensive...
Yeah, can you just reenact it real quick for us?
It was so offensive, but he does a Latinx accent.
I'm not familiar with that. What was it like?
In Tommy Boy?
Yeah. He does a Latinx accent.
Oh, okay, yeah. I do remember that part, yeah.
We're looking for things that are problematic here. It's the bit, Jake. Then...
I'm reminded of that. That single part, it
and
took me a
David
second.
David Spade also says the R word on
I was gonna
on
say,
the airplane.
And Farley does at one point.
Yeah, Farley does.
They both say it?
Yeah, they both say it.
Yeah, they dropped it really early in the movie, and I was like, I mean, I really didn't expect the movie to, like, but it I felt like it held up a lot better than I anticipated it to.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Because, like, I watched, like...
it was like a PG-13 movie, right? Or a PG...
Yeah, I don't know.
I assume it was 13 because there was drug use, like very light drug use as well.
Oh, did you see how he ripped the bong in the beginning?
Yeah, they like bleeped it out.
He did it really badly too, and he was just like, "Whoa!" Like he was shotgunning something.
He did it backwards. Yeah. I think he went through the process backwards. Not that I've ever smoked weed ever, let alone out of a water pipe. Shaped like a bong.
I just really
whatever you say, narc. And that was point of privilege, like Michaels.
Thank you so much, Dyke.
Was it problematic or privilege? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm catching up on this segment a little, like...
The segment is called Point of Privilege.
Okay, so was it problematic or was it about privilege stuff?
Well, I mean, they're all in the same thing.
Okay.
Like, Tommy Boy had privilege.
Yeah.
Which was problematic about the story because he was...
Oh, so it just came from like the peak and then just sort of like avalanche down. Is that what you're saying? Like,
yeah, the Tommy Boy peak.
Yeah, like I'm sorry, like I'm just kind of confused at what was what exactly, problematic or privilege? Like, was
okay,
one.
Okay, we'll call the segment Point of Problematic.
Are we not
problematic privilege? Okay. Problematic. Name.
Okay, you're also forgetting the drunk driving scene.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Though.
No, you're still allowed to drink and drive. Yeah,
that's liberation.
Okay.
2021.
Yeah, that's living your best life.
Okay, but like the drunk driving thing, like they were so white and allergic to bees, like they were fine, like, I mean.
Well, they did have the privilege of...
Running out of the car.
Yeah.
And then being identified as white by the white cops, too.
Now so, you get what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay, we're getting back here. Okay, sorry.
Those were the problematic things. The segment is what was problematic. And Dyke chose the biggest problem with the movie was privilege, and there was a trickle-down effect.
Okay.
And everything that happened.
Gotcha. Okay.
One of my favorite things, the very start of the movie, is that he's graduating. And I don't remember where I saw the movie the first time, but I remember the first time I saw the movie, I was like, this guy looks really old to be in college. Like, that was the very first thought I had.
Chris Farley, you think?
Yeah. So I looked it up. When he made the movie, he was 31. And he's playing a 26-year-old. I mean, he's playing a guy who did spend seven years in college. But he's still 31, and everyone around him is substantially younger.
I think they did a really good job on the makeup. I was like, oh, he looks like college age, but maybe I'm bad at telling the ages of my Farleys.
Do you think there was much makeup done on the set of Tommy Boy?
No, I think a 26-year-old looks like a child. Like, a 26-year-old looks like a red-faced, cherubic a kid.
Cherubic?
Yeah.
Very, very nice word that you just pulled out there. cherubim.
Brian Dennehy could land Bo Derek without that money?
No. I mean, I even think that part of the movie was. I even think she was supposed to be a trophy wife to begin with.
Really?
They met at the fat farm.
Yeah,
at
the fat farm.
Okay. He was at the fat farm, and she was one of the trainers, is what he said.
Can we not agree that Bo Derek at this point, like, wasn't a 10, you know, like.
Oh, wait, so I'm not going to go there for the woman that will riot against me.
Okay, fair enough.
But the whole point was that he is still a big goof, and that if he wasn't, if he didn't have this.
This fortune. Okay.
She wouldn't be interested in
it. I think that's bullshit. I think that's bullshit because you know why? I think Brian Dennehy looks like a really tender lover. I think Brian Dennehy had some charisma.
He looks like a sweet man.
That's what boiled down to his son or whatever. And I do believe that Bo Derek is still a 10, but I do believe that Brian Dennehy, with a little bit of, like, you know, fortune on top of that, he seemed like a pretty good, like, good down-to-earth dude. And I know Bo Derek eventually, yeah, she was trying to be like some sort of parasite or whatever have you. But I don't think it's out of the realm to say that Brian Dennehy is a tender lover with a little bit of cash and charisma, and he probably could have pulled somebody like Bo Derek if she wasn't a criminal, you know, psychopath, you know? Am I out of my realm of thinking with that?
You know, like, I mean, I think
you'd fuck him, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
Like, you're saying that.
A tender hand from Brian.
Yeah, a tender. You said tender a lot of times.
If Brian.
You swipe right.
If Brian Dennehy was dating my aunt, I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah. Go, Uncle Brian.
You're
like,
saying Brian Dennehy doesn't need the fortune to be sexy.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think it certainly doesn't hurt. I also don't think that hurts his confidence and his charisma. Nonetheless. I don't think he should have fell victim to any of this stuff. Luckily, he died before he found out how much of a fucking conundrum was happening underneath him.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
They just did it in this one scene, and I thought it was really interesting, was when they're singing the karaoke at the wedding, and then he dies, and everyone rushes around him. They do this really interesting dissolve shot, where it's like everyone's rushing around him, looking concerned that he fell over, and then they dissolve the shot, and then all of a sudden they're at the funeral, and it's all the same people in all the same positions.
Oh yeah,
around. Like, did anyone else notice that?
Yeah,
that's really good editing.
Yeah,
good call, Warren.
But also, like, no one really rushed to his side. Like, no one really started pumping on his chest or anything like that. They're like,
he's gone.
They just knew.
Oh, that large man from an auto factory. Yeah,
I believe he had a do not resuscitate button.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the movie, my absolute favorite part, was the fat guy in a little coat bit.
Yeah.
And when I was watching it, it was just kind of like, it seemed very real. Like, it seemed really like fun. Like, they were actually having fun doing a movie together. You know how, like, some movies feel like that. And I guess, like, that what that was actually a bit that they would do, that he would do to people. And, like, he kept doing it. And the whole gig was he kept having the same joke over and over. So he would just show up in David Spade's coat and be like, hey, and he's like, I'm not gonna, it's the same damn joke. And he's like, no, turn around, it's a different joke. And then he'd turn around and be like, oh, look, fat guy in a little coat. But that was apparently the first time he had sung it to him. So that was like, you know, like actually him getting David Spade's, you know, genuine reaction in the moment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Do you have any more historical facts?
So basically there was an entirely different script written for this movie. And really? As they made it, they were literally rewriting it. And most of the things, like, I think there was only one scene that ended up in the final version from the original. And the whole car bits were, they needed to fill time. And so, like, some of the writers were like, all right, what are crappy things that have happened to us in cars? And so they entered all of these little car bits about, you know, the deer and the
oh, wow.
And so, like, I mean, like, literally, there was nothing to this movie except let's have a thing for Chris Farley and David Spade to fuck around. And,
That's dope. That's dope. Keep rattling them off.
Well, David Spade is not related to, what was it he said?
James Spader.
James Spader.
Oh, so that's...
He is related to Kate Spade, though. That is his sister-in-law. R.I.P. Was his sister-in-law. And then, I think that's about it for my facts.
Those are fun facts. And that was True Facts by Zach. The story of my Hey, guys, thank you so much. That was the first real episode of IDK It.
I don't know it. I don't know it. I don't know it. I'm cheating, stealing, never feeling. Played up, brother, your daddy, mama. Ha, ha, ha. Look how far we are. Charlie.